I'd like to begin a series of studies with you from the lives of some of the Old Testament kings. Now, there are very many people who never read the Old Testament. Some feel that it is no longer of any importance to us. Some feel it's simply too difficult. But we're told plainly that the things which were written aforetime are written for our learning. And we can learn some very wonderful lessons. The Old Testament has been called God's picture book to illustrate the truth that He's taught us in the New Testament. The first of the Hebrew kings was a man named Saul. Now, God's original plan for the people was that He might rule them Himself directly through certain men whom He called judges. But after a while, there became a great deal of dissatisfaction among the people, especially as Samuel began to get old. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the people came to him and said, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us, like all the nations." Now there's something wrong when the people of God want to be just like the people around them. The Lord called His people to be separate. We're not to be odd and strange, but we are to be different. And why shouldn't we be different when the Lord is our God and when He has taken us out of the world to be His own people? Well, the children of Israel were dissatisfied and they demanded the king. Samuel explained to them what the Lord had said about these things and warned them what the king would do. But after he finished telling just what would happen, we read at verse 19, "Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, 'Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles.'" Now, the Lord had told them all the way along that He would fight their battles and He would take care of them, but this was their demand. I wish we who know the Lord could just remember that God's ways are always best. And if I happen to be talking to someone just now who doesn't know the Lord, I'd like you to consider this a little bit. Don't you think that the God who made you knows best what should be given to you? Don't you believe that the God who loves you so much as to give His only begotten Son for you would certainly care enough about you to make best choices for your whole life? Well, this man Saul was the people's choice, and he was typical of the people's choice. He's described in the 9th chapter of 1 Samuel as a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. This is what people are looking for, appearance. A little bit later on, the Lord said to Samuel, "Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." And not only did this young man have an outstanding appearance, being taller by head and shoulders than the rest of the people, but he had some fine moral qualities too. There's some nice things said about this young man. Here in the beginning of his history, he seemed to be a humble young man. We're told in the 21st verse of this 9th chapter of 1 Samuel, "Saul answered and said, 'Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?'" So he seemed to have some nice qualities. There was a humility about him that was commendable. And then he was willing to listen to Samuel. That was worth something. Samuel said to him, "Let the others go on, and stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." This was a very commendable thing in a young person, or in any person for that matter, a willingness to listen to the word of God. Then in the 10th chapter, after Samuel had told him that the Lord wanted him to be the new king, he left his original quest He had been very busy hunting some lost donkeys that belonged to his father. Quite a contrast between this man, Saul, and the Lord's choice for the people who succeeded him, that is David. David was a shepherd, and he had a shepherd's heart. Saul was a mule driver, and that's the way he ruled people, too. But he leaves that original quest of his and decides that he will do what the Lord says. And then a very wonderful thing happened to him in the 10th chapter of 1 Samuel. We read the record. It says in verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them," that is, with the other prophets, "and shall be turned into another man." And so it says in verse 9, "It was so, that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day." Now there are people who feel that this was an indication that he was truly converted. But of course in the Old Testament we have to remember that conversion is a little different from the New Testament. A man might turn to the Lord in the Old Testament and still not truly know the Lord. Of course there is a sense in which many people seem to turn to the Lord in our day. They join church and they turn over a new leaf. And they reform their lives, and they get baptized, and they seem to be Christians. The test, of course, is whether or not they prove to be Christians by the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, not by what they say and not by their profession. The Bible says, "By their fruit ye shall know them." All I can say about Saul is that he never showed any real fruit of the Spirit of God in his life. Now he had wonderful opportunities, and haven't you had? Am I not talking to someone just now who has had every opportunity to become a child of God? You've listened to the gospel. You're listening to the word just now. Are you willing to bow to God's word? Are you willing to receive Christ and the blessings that God has to give you in Christ? Not just outwardly, not just for appearance only, but sincerely and truly, are you willing just now to bow to what the Word of God says about you? Well, it isn't nice. It isn't good. The Word of God says we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you willing to take God's Word for your own condition, your true status? Well then, are you willing to believe God about Christ? For he says, "As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, this man Saul made some terrible mistakes. Let me point out a few of them. In the 10th chapter, when they went to find the young man, it says in verse 22, "Behold, he had hid himself among the stuff." How many people there are today whose lives are all cluttered up with their stuff, with things? So busy trying to have a good time. So busy trying to make some money. So busy trying to make a name. Their life all cluttered up with stuff. This was indicative of the whole life of this man. This is the way his life went. All his lifetime, his life was cluttered with stuff. Then, in the 11th chapter in verse 6, we're told that his anger was kindled greatly. This is the first time his anger is mentioned, but not the last. Twice he tried to throw a javelin through David, when David came and played on his harp to help him. He was very fierce in his wrath, even against his own son, Jonathan. He was a man who lacked self-control. All of us lack self-control to a certain extent. That's why we need God to control. We can't control our tongues, according to the book of James. We certainly can't control our thoughts. But God is willing to take control. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you can depend upon God to give you the control that is far better than self-control. Then in the 13th chapter, we find that this man, Saul, presumed to Saul's, to Samuel's office. He was so self-reliant. He was so so full of himself that he didn't think he needed any help from Samuel. And how many people there are today who feel they don't need the Lord Jesus Christ? One man said to me, "Well, I believe in God, but I can make it all right. I don't need Christ." What a foolish and wicked thing to say. The Lord Jesus came to be our Savior, and apart from Him, there is no Savior. And we need the mediation of the Lord Jesus. We need His high priestly work to help us and to care for us. We need the Holy Spirit's presence day by day. Let's not be self-reliant and self-conceited. And then His harshness with others, even His own son Jonathan, as I mentioned, showed that He had a very legal spirit. He was a hard man. Christians are not hard people. If you profess to be a Christian and you find that you are severe and harsh and hard, you better get before the Lord and find out why. And then in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, he was very disobedient. He spared Amalek, the king of the wicked people whom the Lord had said to destroy. Now this is a serious thing, and we're told that obedience is better than sacrifice. His disobedience showed that he did not believe God. And then his hatred of David showed that he rejected God's man. Rejecting Christ can bring nothing but wrath. And this man ended up very sadly turning to the witch of Endor for help. For light rejected bringeth night. I trust that you will accept the Lord Jesus, that you will accept God's way for your life. Our Father, we pray that to bless thy word to each of us. We thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee for all kindnesses in his name. Amen.